curated to encourage leaders at all levels to be their best selves and to bring a fresh, curious perspective to today's issues in business and culture. Our goal is to equip listeners with the resources to always move forward.
Welcome to the Always Forward Leadership Podcast. Good morning. I am Carla Sones, and I am here with Ron Kitchens. And we are going to be talking today about leadership coaches and having a coach to kind of help you on your professional journey to work through your goals and to help coach you into being the best leader that you can be. And so, Ron, I know that you've had a coach, you've been a coach. When did this start for you? And what does it mean to you to have that leadership coach in your corner?
Good questions. So I think I have had a management leadership coach for 16 years. And it really began for me when I realized I needed somebody to talk to, that I felt comfortable asking questions of, who had already seen things or experienced things that I hadn't seen before that could help me accelerate and go faster, who had made the mistakes and could coach me through those areas without having to repeat their mistakes. And I remember when I first started coach, I didn't tell anyone. I paid for it out of my own pocket because I was embarrassed. I thought this must be remedial. The whole world must know this. And if my board or friends or coworkers find out that I'm doing this, they're going to think it's remedial and that I don't belong. Y'all, leaders, every leader I know worries about an imposter situation, that somebody's going to figure out they're an imposter and they're going to get fired or, you know, going to be embarrassed. And what I found was with a coach, my leadership and performance accelerated. And when I finally shared it with the man who was my board chair at the time, a guy named Ray Hayes, who's now chancellor at the University of Alabama, when I shared with Ray I was doing it, he looked at me like, are you an idiot? Of course you're doing that. That's what the best leaders do. And Ray said something to me, you know, if you went and got somebody to help you with your backswing in golf, nobody would question that, but that's a coach. If you hired somebody to help your child be a better hitter in baseball, nobody would question that because that's a coach. But for some reason, we have allowed ourselves to believe that if we help somebody help make us a better leader, a better manager, a better whatever, that somehow that's remedial. And no, it's a coach helping you perform at a higher level. And as we've talked, and as you know, I only stick with a coach, some of them a couple of years, some a little longer, but it is because I'm hiring them to take me through processes and thinking and problem solving in areas that I want to get better at, but they won't be good at whatever the next thing is that I want to do. And so I need a coach who's seen that world and done that world. So I'm constantly trying to get better as a leader, as a husband, as a dad, as a person, and which means that I'm always learning and always changing.
So we talked a little bit about it not being remedial. And I think that's the first kind of point that I know you really wanted to drive home, because there's oftentimes that individuals are given the opportunity. I know what the first time you said to me, you know, hey, you might really benefit from having a leadership coach. Like, this is an opportunity for you. I won't lie. I sat back and was like, what am I doing wrong? Like, he thinks I need a leadership coach. And it took me a while to really work through that process, to take ownership for the fact that I was allowing perceptions of the world to shift, and I was not going to take advantage of that leadership coach in the way that I now have been able to, because I was thinking what I need to fix versus what can I help grow in my own leadership. And it's an opportunity versus something that's necessary for me to keep my job.
That's right.
And I think that's where we are at with leadership now, is that we're often giving people feedback or opportunities when they are about to fail versus giving them the opportunity when they're really successful. And we know that, but I think there are a lot of leaders out there that are still in that seat of if their supervisor said you get to have a leadership coach, they're like, well, what am I supposed to work on? And that is so not what most people are doing with the leadership coach. They're not band-aiding, they're accelerating.
Yeah, it's this idea of playing to your talents. So I don't hire a leadership coach to make me better at the things I'm not good at and don't have talent around. So clearly, whether you use Gallup's assessment tools or use Talent Pluses or HumanX's assessment tools, you having a coach isn't about being better at, if you're in Gallup, at your 30th thing. It's about taking the areas in your top 10 and becoming stronger at that. There are things I am never going to be good at. Because of my dyslexia, I'm never going to learn a foreign language. It is not in the cards for me. I have tried dozens of different systems. It's not going to happen. So there's no reason for me to get a coach to help me learn a foreign language. It's not that. But right now, I am a pretty good speaker, but I notice that the world has changed a little bit on presentation and how the next generation of leaders wants to be presented to. Speeches need to be shorter, tighter. You need to be more entertaining. And so I'm, you know, hiring a coach to help me craft better messages, to work on my body language better, to get better at that, because I know that'll increase my leadership capacity. But you know, there are other things that I would just never do. I wanted to learn how the best leadership conferences work and what the thought process is and crafting that around. So Brad Lominick has come on board with this, and Brad's one of the, I believe, the best leadership conference company, certainly in the United States and perhaps in the world. And so Brad came on board to help coach me and has been with us 3 years now. You know, that's the thing that you get to do when you finally understand that you may be great at something today, but great today is average tomorrow. And so good leaders understand that they always have somebody cheering them on, you know, and it's the race analogy. And I'm amazed by it, but I continue to read articles that tell me if you have a cheering section strategically placed on a marathon race route, who's cheering you on, your odds of finishing go up exponentially. And if you know where they're going to be, the speed between those 2 points increases because you want to get to your cheering section. That's what a coach does. He accelerates your leadership.
Yeah. And I also think that one of the amazing things that a coach can do is they can also provide you some insight into your own blind spots. So as leaders and as individuals, just humans, we all have blind spots and areas where we might not even realize that we're maybe not confident in an area or maybe not articulating something well. And the beauty of having a coach is that they often can see those nuances in your own behavior and your own leadership, and they can in real time unlock some of those for you or provide some vision in areas where you haven't allowed yourself to even explore. And I think that they also can really help you stay on track. So there's something really powerful about having the accountability to a coach, because they're not forcing you to do anything, but having regular check-in meetings or calls with your coach helps keep that top of mind. And I think as leaders, we often allow our own leadership and our own development and our own investment in our talents to fall to the wayside because we're really focused on organizational goals and the individuals that we are maybe providing coaching for. And that can take over our life, and then our own leadership can fall to the wayside. And having a coach is one way to keep that really at top of mind, because if you have a call, you're thinking about it. So you're having conversations more regularly. So it's harder for it to fall too far to the wayside when you kind of have somebody to check in with.
Yeah, it's, you know, a lot of times as a point leader, your level of accountability, you know, for me, where I've either always owned my own company or worked for a board of directors. and I serve on the board of directors of both private and public companies, that leader needs somebody that he or she can be accountable to before the annual review. And too many times with point leaders, CEOs, executive directors, whatever that title is, you get an annual review, but you don't have anybody cheering you on throughout the year to accelerate you. And then, so I think that's critical. And then the piece that you touched on about those blind spots, and we all develop those. So for me, a few years ago, that blind spot was, so I'm at the top end of Gen X, and where you're at the bottom in the cusp between millennial and Gen X. So as I had led baby boomers and Gen X and found that my leadership style did not transcend to millennials, that they thought I was a bully. What I thought was setting high expectations and you can do this and being very kind of rah-rah coachy, they took as being a bully and domineering. And so I had to have a coach work me through that. And here's a language that both transcends baby boomers, Gen X, and millennials. Here's the behaviors you're doing that are self-limiting. And here's how you need to communicate with that while still being authentically me, but understanding it wasn't what I was expecting of people. It was how I was expressing that expectation that was a limiting factor. And without a coach, I don't believe I could have stayed in my job. I don't believe I'd have been relevant. I believe I would have either lost amazing people and my board would have said, or our board would have said, hey, you need to go. You can't recruit and retain amazing people. Or we'd have just become mediocre, cruddy organization that becomes, you know, community social overhead. And at that point that you do that, you don't deserve the right to lead an organization.
So, Ron, I believe that there are some incredible leaders out there that are listening to us have this conversation today about leadership coaching. And I have a couple of questions for you on behalf of that listening audience that I think is rolling around in the back of their mind right now. So I'm going to take a stab at answering a couple of questions for them. One of them being, if you are going to hire a leadership coach, what are the things that you look for and know that it is a good match? That's question one. Question two, if your organization is not an organization that maybe supports financially a leadership coach, what type of insights could you give to the listening audience on finding a leadership coach that maybe is less expensive or making that investment in themselves? So those are the two questions. First question, what would you look for in the leadership coach to know it's a fit?
Fit is critical. So understand that. So you want somebody. So first thing is we're talking about leadership, management, organizational growth, not a lifestyle coach. This isn't somebody that is going to work with you on your lifestyle, although they might. So we shared the same coach, as did a number of people in the organization. And she, you know, I was feeling like an old guy and my energy level was what I wanted. And she said, you know, I have a great wellness doctor and let me get you in. She's kind of hard to get into, but it has become a lifesaver for me. And it was about getting the right kind of vitamins and making sure that I was paying attention to health issues that were really important, not what I thought was important. And so our coach, Suzanne, was able to do that for me while also lifting up my leadership. But I didn't hire somebody to make me happier. But so, you know, the first thing I do is I want references. Every coach I have ever hired, I either knew their work because I had observed them, I had studied them. You know, Brad Lominick's a great example where Brad wasn't even thinking about doing coaching, but as he transitioned his role at Catalyst, I thought there's somebody I want to learn from. And so I had not met Brad. I just reached out and said, can I come buy you lunch? Brad lives in Atlanta. And hang out and talk about where I'm at and see if there's something we can do together. And after a couple of lunches, he came on board the organization to both coach me as well as the organization. So, but you want a reference. You want to know that other leaders had tremendous success. I think it's when I enter an agreement with a new coach, you know, I set a timeline on it. So, you know, after 3 months, we're going to evaluate to make sure we're both feeling good about this. And sometimes you do, and sometimes sometimes you don't. And that's okay. We're blessed that organizationally we're supported to have coaches. And so the point leaders out there put this in the budget. You know, we have a line. It's for creative growth. And sometimes that means sending somebody to a conference to learn. But a lot of times it's about the coach. And I always laugh at the people who tell me, Ron, I can never afford a coach, while we're standing at a conference that costs $3,000. Well, the typical coach won't cost you that in a year. And so it's about priorities. And, you know, and I tell people go, you know, I can never tell my board, you know, I need a coach on that. And I said, your board already knows what you're not good at. And so I would coach you that you should go to your board and say, hey, if you could invest $5,000 in making me a better leader, how would you do that? Most of the time they're going to say, you know, I'll get a coach and I'd have you do this and I'd have you do that. I'd say, all right, let's do that in the next budget. I've never heard anybody say that it didn't happen. But there are people in situations where they just can't have that conversation. And so then I would focus on mentoring, about making sure that I'm developing a network of people that I can ask good questions from. I would use some tools to understand my own leadership strengths and weaknesses, and then push aside your weaknesses. And that is not human nature. All of us who are parents out there get our kids' grade cards and they're 5 A's and a C minus. And what do? We talk about the C minus. Well, you know what? I was never any good at algebra. I never passed a spelling test in my entire life. I am dyslexic. There is nothing I can do about those things. But what I can do is be amazing at what I'm going to be amazing at. I have to be competent at those other things, but I'm never going to be great at that. So I'm going to focus my efforts with my coach, with my mentors, around what I can be great at, not trying to be average, to get myself up to average or above average on things that just don't matter. I'm never going to be great at them.
So mentoring is key. If you're unable to, at this point in your career, if you're unable to invest in a leadership coach, a mentor, have several mentors, have real good conversations about what you're hoping to get out of that mentorship. I think people are scared to ask people to be their mentor because there's some unwritten rules about, well, what does a mentor mean? And I think that most individuals are honored to be even thought of as a mentor. And if you ask for something from somebody, they're more than willing most times to help you to achieve success, because people in general care about other people. But we're too scared to ask. We're too scared to ask and be clear about what it is that we're really trying to work on, so that that individual can really help us to work on what we want to work on, not just have a coffee date every few months to check in to see how each other are doing. Putting some real actionable and accountable steps in there is really powerful for the mentor and for yourself. And so not being afraid to ask for exactly what you're hoping to get out of that relationship is key.
Yeah. And my advice to folks, because it can be scary, but you know, it's also a small group mentality. So we have a group called Next that are all emerging next generation leaders in economic development that we're coaching and mentoring and growing together. You know, we have a group of senior leaders that I'm in and lead that are leading the biggest, best organizations of the country. And these are all private, very quiet meetings where we're mentoring and growing each other. We're coaching each other. We're trying to help succeed together. So get yourself in that. You know, YPO is one of those organizations that has been solely created and built on that model. But it's also, you know, when looking for a mentor, you got to know what you want. It's the Olivia Pope question. What do you want? And most people can't tell you that. And it changes. You know, my wife and I are empty nesters. Daughter is in her first job, been in the job 6 months. It looks like it's going to stick. And, you know, we have this big house. It's too big for us. And we're talking about, you know, retirement in 15 years. What do we want? And so I can't ask somebody to help me if I don't know what I want. Now, I can ask a financial advisor to help work me through and ask the right questions. But in the end, I have to know what I want to know where to invest my time, talent, and treasure to get what I need at the end. And so we've got some tools that you know, somebody wants to go through that process, we'll be glad to coach you a little bit on that, but you got to determine what you want before you then ask questions, because nobody wants to mentor somebody who just says, fill me up. I'm an empty vessel. Yeah, I have my own children and my own empty vessels to fill. But if you tell me I need this rock you have, will you fill my vessel with that? Will you put that rock in my vessel? I've never had a single person tell me no.
Yes. And it's so powerful to have individuals in your corner that are able to help move you forward in certain places in your life, and to be more than just kind of a download on how you're doing right now, but to be able to really support you in getting to the next level or to the next stage in your career or to the next step in your goals. So having that leadership coach or a mentoring circle can be extremely valuable. And I hope that for the listening audience out there, you know that leadership should not have to feel alone in your leadership. And if you're in a place where you are feeling that way, it's perfectly okay to step outside of your own comfort zone and to ask for a coach. It's okay to ask people to be your mentors. And if you need help in having those conversations or getting the confidence to have those conversations, Ron and I are here and able to help. We firmly believe that leadership coaching can help take you to the next level. So if you have more questions, you can give us a shout out through the podcast, Carla@consultantconnect.org, Ron@ronkitchens.com. So anything else you want to add in closing today, Ron?
The people that you're leading, the people who are counting on you, your family, your loved ones need you to perform at your best. They're counting on you. And to do that, you've got to invest in making yourself the best. So don't think about this as something as selfish, as remedial. Think about this is what you have to do to take your community, your organization, your church, your family to the next level, to give them more security. By investing in yourself, you make everybody else's life better. No organization ever got weaker when a leader got stronger.
Wow, that was incredible, Ron. We will close on that note because that was so powerful. And we will join the listening audience back up again next week for another impactful message. We're going to be talking about best places to work and why high performance teams are excelling in today's economy.
Thanks for joining us. We hope today's conversation inspired you to keep moving forward on your leadership journey. To connect with Ron, you can tweet him @RonKitchens or send him a message via ronkitchens.com. If you are listening via iTunes, please leave a review. It really helps us connect to you, grow our impact, and keep moving always forward.